back to another episode of the Pax What She Said podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts, Maggie Loney, joined as always by Perry Goldstein, and we got the intro right this week. So sorry to disappoint everybody that liked the blooper, but we did it. And Perry, there's football on Sunday. Can you believe that we're already at the second preseason game in 3 weeks from today? The Packers will be in Brazil playing the Eagles for the opener.
I'm so excited. I want to skip ahead.
Just fast forward through the rest of this.
Yeah. Let's go. Let's go to Brazil.
Yeah, so the Packers obviously play the Broncos. They're there now for some joint practices. And then Sunday night, they will actually play their preseason game. And there's a lot of questions still for this Packers team. This is certainly a roster that is by no means finalized. The starters, it kind of feels like, are largely finalized, except for possibly your second corner, your second safety. But a lot of the base packages the Packers are going to trot out pretty much solidified at this point. So before we dive into this, what's your thoughts on the Broncos roster? We were talking about it a little bit pre-show, and I would just like your holistic vision of the Denver team.
Well, they definitely have some major question marks at some key positions is what my takeaway of the Broncos roster.
It's a very polite thing to say.
Is that the politically correct way to say it's subpar? And then there are some position groups though that are kind of dope. Like They've got two really solid tight ends, and they've got, you know, Cortland Sutton is a great, I shouldn't say great. He's a really nice, like above average wide receiver. But like their secondary is Pat Surtain and who, you know? So, and then most importantly, they still don't have their quarterback figured out. Like I should have led with that. Right. But they have Jared Stidham and Zach Wilson. And then obviously we all saw them draft Bo Nix this offseason in the draft. So this is a big offseason and a big preseason, I should say, for them to figure out who is going to be their starter going into week one. I know you have thoughts about it. But if I'm a Broncos fan, like that is what I am 100% honed in and focused on.
Yeah, I think this is like a really big conversation that Packers fans don't really have we've never had to really be in this position for so long, but I'd be really curious from like a Vikings fan's perspective. The Bears drafted Kalen Williams knowing that he was going to start for them. The Vikings took JJ McCarthy, and I would be curious if the Vikings fans are like, hey, I want him to start right away. Hey, I want him to sit. So
well,
same thing
doesn't
with
matter anymore.
Right. But I mean, like with Denver now, do you want a guy like Jared Stidham to play for the first half of the season while Bo Nix gets comfortable? Do you want to throw him out there right away? Because you see both sides of it, right? You see CJ Stroud go out there last season and light the league on fire. And then you see Bryce Young, who could have probably used some development behind, like, I think Andy Dalton was their backup last year, and they threw him into the fire. And now people are questioning if he's got it. You know, so it's a really interesting conversation for fans that draft rookie quarterbacks, like what your team plans to do with that guy. And I think from what I've read, you know, from like the Denver beat and from Broncos beat, that they seem like Bo Nix he played really well against the Colts. It could be his job to lose at this point if he plays well again this week and next week. But I'd be curious if you're a fan of another team and you listen to the show, let us know, like if they drafted a young quarterback, what's the vibe? Because clearly the Packers have not had to deal with that for a very, very long time.
Yeah. I think the answer to your question is a little bit of a cop-out answer, which is like, it just totally depends on the player.
It does vary.
Right. CJ Stroud happened to be ready. Bryce Young, to your point, probably needed time. And I think the Panthers were actually in a position to give him time, given that Andy Dalton is a very serviceable starter. They just chose not to go that route because of all, you know, took him first, blah, 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 the whole narrative around taking a first round quarterback. Bo Nix is a really interesting choice because he played a lot of football in college and he's older, right? He's 24. And the jump to the NFL is not the same as college, but if you're looking at a guy, like, he's not green. He's not, and he's not a project. He's certainly not a, you know, Jordan Love type you know, you're drafting him because he definitely needs to sit sort of situation. So I wouldn't be surprised if they went with him, maybe not week one, but the majority of the season. Also, putting myself in Denver Bronco fans' shoes, this isn't a situation, just using the Panther example here still, where they have another alternative backup option where I think that that quarterback can go out and win games. Your options are Jared Stidham and, respectfully, Zach Wilson, and we've seen both of them play, and those aren't guys who you want to, like, lead your football team for any, like, significant length of time.
Yeah, and I mean, I think we forget, too, like, Patrick Mahomes, the situation that he was in. He ended up playing by the end of the season, but sat for a little bit, and we don't know, you know, what he would have looked like if he came in and started week one. I'm sure he would still have the career that he's having, but it is an interesting comparison. Aaron Rodgers obviously sat behind Brett Favre. So let's talk about some of the weapons that the Broncos have before we shift to the Packers. I know that Troy Franklin, the Broncos drafted, Bo Nix's wide receiver from Oregon, sounds like he has had a very rough camp and, you know, didn't really get any catches during the preseason and has just struggled so far. So it'll be curious to see him on Sunday if he can develop a rapport with Nix. If we assume he's the starter, you would think that they would have that going into it, but that has been tricky. Their running back room is actually kind of nice. You know, Javonte Williams is a good back. They drafted Audric Estime from the Notre Dame. I'm sure your dad was very thrilled to see him in the league, but yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of questions with this young Broncos offense, and it'll be fun to see the Packers secondary go up against some of these wide receivers, because I think there's a lot of questions still as far as, like, who the starters are for not only the Broncos offense, but this Packers secondary that we're going to talk about.
Yeah. One thing I'm really curious about is, like, what the trade of Jerry Jeudy, like, did to that locker room, right? Like, when you get rid of a young ascending star to a team, like, does that impact anyone? I don't think we have necessarily the answer, but I look at this roster and, like, they're missing that kind of, like, star power on this side of the ball. They just don't have anyone that screams, like, I'm the guy, you know?
Yeah.
Like, Cortland Sutton has been such a solid wide receiver for so long, but he's not, when you talk about wide receivers around the league, you're not bringing up Cortland Sutton's name in any kind of conversation for a long, unless you're having that conversation for probably over an hour. And like I said, I like their pairing of tight ends and Adam Trautman and Greg Dulcich. Like, I think that that's a nice pairing, but not necessarily, like, star power tight ends, at least not yet, right, for Greg. So it's interesting when you kind of get rid of, like, the only guy on that roster, and he never became that at the Broncos, and he might not on the Browns either, right? We don't really know yet if Jerry Jeudy is ever going to ascend to be, like, the guy everyone thought that he would coming out of the draft, but that's kind of, like, what stands out to me a little bit, is, like, who is going to, like, step up for that on that side of the ball.
Yeah, because I think you've got, like I like Josh Reynolds as wide receiver three, you know, but I just don't think that he's gonna come in and take wide receiver one kind of rep. So let's shift and talk about the Packers now, because we, you know, there's positions that we think are finalized. We've talked about the starting four wide receivers for the Packers, and I think this is a really funny conversation. I was having it with Andrew Murtagh yesterday on Pack a Day, where every offseason, right, we fall in love with certain players, and we never, ever, ever think that any of the Packers are going to clear waivers and make it back to the practice squad. And every year, all of the players that we want to return end up returning because the league is deeper and everybody feels a certain way about their own, like, homegrown prospects. But I do think that there is a chance that this is possibly one of the seasons where if you let go of a Bo Melton or a Grant DuBose or a Malik Heath, those kind of guys get snatched up. So that, I think, is a really intriguing kind of conversation for the Packers to have as far as who they'd be most comfortable waiving with the hope that they could make it back to the practice squad. Because they're so deep, and a lot of these rooms we're talking about are not.
So deep. I think I've come a little bit out of my post-preseason game one fog and have come to my senses that, like, I don't think Bo Melton's going anywhere. Even if he doesn't have, like, the greatest preseason, like, I still feel like he's a roster lock, even if he's number, like, 53. Right. I just can't see, to your point, like the Packers doing anything with Bo Melton, especially after what we know he's capable of doing and what he showed last season. I think it would come down to a Malik Heath or a Grant DuBose between the two of them. I think I actually put Bo in a different conversation. I don't know how you feel about that.
Yeah. I mean, I think that Bo has done enough to warrant that spot. And I think, unfortunately, if it comes down to DuBose and Heath, even though we saw Heath get a lot of playing time and he's such a good blocker, like that goes in that category for him. DuBose is coming on as a blocker and he's a draft pick. Like, I think there's just that kind of leg up for the Goody picks. And I think that's maybe a good segue into the offensive line, because we're talking about, like, I have Sean Ryan and Jacob Monk as roster locks. So if we assume the starting five is established and then you've got those two guys, that's already seven spots. And you're talking about,
go ahead. Wait, you're assuming the starting five is established?
I think it is. Me personally, I would give it Rashid Walker, Elton Jenkins, Josh Myers, Jordan Morgan, Zach Tom.
Okay.
I think that's what we're probably going to see week one. And I think Sean Ryan could be in the conversation. I think he's still very much competing for a right guard spot with Jordan Morgan. I just think being a first round pick probably bumps him into the, we need to give him some playing time conversation. Mm-hmm. And I think Sean Ryan is like a perfect off the bench kind of player. And maybe they do what they did last year with Runyon and Ryan, where I still think about Sean Ryan coming in at the goal line and having to stonewall Aaron Donald of all people, like, welcome to the NFL, block Aaron Donald on the goal line. Good luck. Mm-hmm. And he did well. So those would be like my seven for sures. And then, but both those guys are interior guys. So you've got Andre Dillard, was a former first round pick. Obviously this is probably his last real shot at sticking to a roster. Caleb Jones is their big 6'9" developmental prospect. Kadeem Telfort was on the practice squad all last season. And then Travis Glover was a draft pick in the sixth round. And we know how Goody feels about his draft pick. So I think you're talking about two, maybe three spots that are left. And then, of course, there's like Royce Newman, who was a former pick, and he's played enough football for them that maybe there's a comfort there. Like, that position group, these next couple weeks, it's just going to be a slog to figure out who the starters are or who the depth pieces are.
Yeah. It's going to come down to, I think it's going to come down to versatility. You know, like, can you play potentially multiple positions on the line? Do they feel that they can plug you in at either, like, to your point, like a swing interior or a swing tackle? Because they have plenty of bodies, but not, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
and yeah, I think that's what Adam Senevich kind of said too with Sean Ryan. It was like, he didn't really play center before. And he's like, well, when you're going to be a depth piece on the roster, you start to learn all of those positions because that's your best chance at sticking around. And I know Andre Dillard, you know, has historically played left tackle, and that was the report out of camp, was that he struggled to kind of settle in at right tackle. And if you're going to be a swing tackle off the bench, you have to be able to play both. So I know that it sounds like his comfort has grown there, and I thought he played decently in the preseason, you know, the first game. But yeah, just a lot goes into these final pieces. And unless you're like Jordan Morgan, where you're a first round pick and you kind of get the luxury of coming along and settling into one spot, a lot of these guys are going to have to be able to play at least two, if not three spots, I think, to be able to stick.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about the running back room. because Marshawn Lloyd is likely not going to play in this game given his injury. And we know the starters aren't playing. So we are going to be seeing, in my opinion, a lot of AJ Dillon and a lot of Emmanuel Wilson. However, are we going to be seeing AJ Dillon has now become a question that some are asking. And I know it's one that you have some thoughts on. So are we going to be seeing AJ Dillon? And if we do see AJ Dillon or don't, like, what does that potentially indicate for his spot on this team?
Yeah, that really has been the biggest question mark for me. And I think a lot of this is going to depend on the severity of Marshawn Lloyd's injury. If it's something that clears up week three, like, even if he doesn't play the final two games of the preseason, he's making the 53-man roster. Like, there's no debate there. So you've got Josh Jacobs and Marshawn Lloyd as roster locks. If Marshawn Lloyd has to start the season on IR, I think that opens up two, if not three, if the Packers were to decide to keep four running backs, roster spots. So if AJ Dillon sits and all the starters are sitting, I think the Packers, that's an indication that he is a roster lock. But if he's out there with Sean Clifford and Michael Pratt for however long, then I think you start to question things, because we did see them sign Nate McCreary, who was with the Packers last preseason for a little bit. So they've got Jarvon Howard, Nate McCreary, Ellis Merriweather, and then you mentioned already Emmanuel Wilson. That's four bodies. So theoretically, you could give each of those guys a quarter if you really wanted to. You could give Emmanuel Wilson a half and the rest of the guys 10 minutes. Like, whatever, however you want to break it up, five running backs to get through four quarters of football is a lot. So if AJ's out there competing with some of these guys, I think it's fair to question what his role could be on the team and if it's secure. But if he sits, I think that's pretty telling.
Yeah. My thing about it is that if AJ was going to be a roster lock, and I know we talked about this pre-show, but like, if AJ was going to be a roster lock, they would have given him a contract extension, a real one. So I don't know. And maybe, right? Maybe at this point they've seen enough throughout the offseason and the preseason for them to say, okay, our AJ that we know and love is back. Yes. But I haven't. And I'm, yeah, sure, I'm just a couch GM over here watching. But I would, right? So I agree with you that him sitting is definitely like a big resounding, you know, signal. Mm-hmm. But I would be really surprised if he was sitting, because I just don't think that I've gotten any signs or like any indication from the Packers so far that that's like how they view him yet.
I would be really curious. We've seen or heard a lot out of training camp that they're doing a ton of like pony packages and a lot of two running back sets. And it seems like they've used Dillon as kind of a lead blocker in some of those situations. So part of me wonders if he would kind of be testing out a new role in the preseason. Like, maybe he's playing and it's just a comfort thing. Like, I know that, you know, Twitter has joked that he's like transitioning to fullback, which I don't think is like true, but I do think they're looking at expanding his role into something less traditional, just because I think he brings value in pass protection. There's obviously a comfort there with Jordan Love. He has nice hands for the most part when it comes to, you know, being a weapon in the receiving game. So it is going to be really interesting to see how they use him and if they use him down the stretch, or if, like we said, they're as convinced. You know, I mean, Matt LaFleur heaped praise on him all training camp, saying he's the best he's looked, he's shifty, he's quick, he got even leaner and somehow more muscular, like his quads look bigger, all of the things. So you would hope that that energy that he's put into that is not in vain. But at the same time, this is the NFL, like this stuff kind of happens. So any other positions that you're like super interested to see how things shake out? Because I think running back could arguably be one of the biggest questions as far as like what's left to determine on the depth chart.
Yeah. There's still like some guys on the defensive side of the ball, but not necessarily like from a cut down perspective, more just like, how is Jeff going to use some of the pieces that he has? And I think that those are answers that like we might not still even get until the season starts. And also there are still some injuries that that side of the ball is contending with. Like, we haven't seen Edge Cooper. We're not going to see Hopper in this preseason likely. And that just is what it is, unfortunately. Like, we're not going to see really any of the starting linebackers, I don't think. So that's unfortunate a little bit. But also that means – I think that's a good thing for some of the depth linebackers that you and I both really like, making a case for why they should stick on this team. It's an interesting grouping of guys that went from have been a weakness for the Packers for a really long time to now what I think is like actually quite a nice strength in the middle of that defense. They've got everything from a Quay and an Edge Cooper to, you know, the Isaiah McDuffie and Eric Wilsons, who are going to be huge for them on special teams. So I'm curious if they keep five. That feels heavy for inside linebacker. But it's also hard for me to see them getting rid of any of the five that they have.
Yeah, I think thinking that the Packers, and again, you don't have to comment and tell us that they're going to play base nickel most of the time. We understand that. But if you're looking at transitioning to like a 4-3, I think we're going to see more sub packages where there's at least two, yeah, if not three linebackers out there. And I don't know when Cooper and Hopper are going to get to start. You know what I mean? Like, it could, yeah, be midway through the season. It could be week two. Like, for all we know, it's not, they're going to rotate in sub packages for the entire year and then kind of debut in their sophomore season. So I think Eric Wilson and Isaiah McDuffie are going to get a ton of playing time early. I think keeping five kind of has to be the move right now. And I'm also curious what that does for special teams, because last year, I think Eric Wilson played like 80% of special team snaps because he wasn't a starter. So when you look at like Keyshawn Nixon, he's your return guy, but you're not going to send him out there, I don't think, to be like your gunner anymore, because he's your starting nickel. And with like Eric Wilson, you probably don't want him to have to play 80% of special teams reps as your starting middle linebacker. So really interesting there too, because I think that's a whole new conversation about where they carry depth and who can afford to play teams in addition to their existing role on defense or offense.
I can't see Eric Wilson like starting as much outside of preseason. We're seeing a lot of him, like we're going to see a lot of him in this game, in the Broncos game, but I think it's going to, quite frankly, diminish once the season starts. I don't know if you seem to disagree, I guess. And maybe like if this is a nagging injury that these guys have and they literally can't play, then that obviously changes the equation. But I think if you get all five of them healthy, to me, Eric Wilson is inside linebacker five.
And see, that's where I'm questioning, because right now I would think that Wilson might be ahead of McDuffie. And I don't know if that's just from what I've heard from like training camp. But I know that McDuffie's got the Boston College connection to Jeff Hafley. So not really sure how that shakes out. I know obviously the goal is to get Cooper and Hopper out there, but I could also see Hafley being like, look, Wilson and McDuffie have been vets in the league for a long time now. And I think we're going to see them rotate out a ton. Like, it sounds like Hopper is just always kind of behind the line of scrimmage, like blowing up plays in the backfield, which is something that they needed inside linebackers. So that would be really exciting, but feels kind of redundant to like the McDuffie role. So I think we're going to see between the five of them a ton of rotation, but I could see, at least to start the season, Wilson being the guy next to Quay until like Cooper, not like earns his stripes, that's a stupid way to say it, but like I think we're going to need to see a little bit more of them, especially if they don't get to play at all in the preseason.
Yeah. All right. Who is your other position group to watch?
It's hard because I think that safety is pretty nailed down. Like, I don't think there's really any way that it's not the five that we assume it'll be. You know, they drafted three. They had Anthony Johnson Jr. last season. They signed Xavier McKinney. Like, it feels like the five. So I don't know really what anybody else could do to break into that room. I'm excited to see Oladapo potentially get to play some defensive snaps. I thought he'd be a really fun, like, hybrid safety linebacker. So there's sub packages I'd like to see them put him in, maybe instead of like an Eric Wilson or a McDuffie, if you need like a slighter, more athletic kind of body. So I'll be looking for him to hopefully get some defensive snaps and not just special team snaps. But I think it's really like the fifth or sixth spot that we're talking about. I'm curious, to me, it's like between Aaron Mosby and Brenton Cox for the fifth edge rusher spot. I think like with corners, we're talking about like, is it Corey Ballantyne or Robert Rochelle? So like some of those things, like who gets the quote unquote start with the second team is, I think, where we'll maybe see the Packers leaning as far as their comfort going into the season.
Yeah. Well, we will see all of those guys in Denver. They will be the ones who are probably playing the majority of snaps, looking to secure their spots on the team. So I'm looking forward to Sunday. I think it's going to be a good game. We're not going to see any of the starters, so it's going to be even more second and third stringers, if you will.
Yeah, and obviously both quarterbacks that we've had a lot of conversations about. Yes. We'll see both kickers. You know, there's a world where the Packers kicker isn't even on the roster yet. Like, you look at the Browns, there's a lot of teams that have kicking competitions going on. So there could be a world where somebody gets released elsewhere and Packers like what they saw on tape more than what they're seeing from their three kickers. So yeah, lots to still shake out here, but we'll be back, of course, on Monday to talk about what we saw and what we like and what we think is still kind of up for debate going into the final preseason game. So thank you, as always, for listening to the show. You can find the podcast on Twitter at PWSS Podcast, Perry at Perry_Goldstein, me at Maggie J. Loney. If you're listening to the audio format, thank you so, so much. We appreciate that. You can find us everywhere you find your favorite podcasts. If you're here on YouTube with us, thank you so much. Please remember to like and subscribe to the show because that really helps us out as well. And thank you, of course, for listening. And go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.